Track 6. Bench overlooking the forest. I think I told you when I introduced myself that I'm not from here, and I've realised over the years that I don't really feel as though I'm from anywhere. I've moved around a lot, that's the thing. I'm not rooted. But then again, is it really necessary to belong somewhere? My daughter teaches geography at university, human geography. To live is to live locally, she tells me. And to know is first of all to know the place one is in. There was a woman, called Helen, who came to my table, and she said she knows that she belongs here, right here. That the moment she's anywhere else, for any kind of time, she just doesn't feel right. Do you understand? She said. And I nodded. But I didn't. And she went off with a donut machine that I've never used. Perhaps it's genetic. Perhaps some of us have to roost to make sure we can get through life in half-decent shape, whilst others are happy wandering around from place to place, ducking and diving like the merry outlaws of Sherwood Forest, out there. I sat here with Tony, the ex-vicar, and he said that he thought the forest somehow helped to define the people here. That as well as Clipston being an ex-mining village, and you wonder when that term will ever come unstuck from these places, that it's also a village that's been carved out of the forest. That there's something about the insularity of that, of being forest folk. It's an island up here, I've realised, between the wilderness of this side and the neatly laid out rows of houses on the other, where nature has been taken and shaped and moulded and planned and plotted. The funny thing is that if what we're looking at is the side that represents the before, the rural, and the other side is the after, the industrial, then it's out there, the before, where the future perhaps lies. The forest, tourism. Just like when these places were all part of the Dukeries, and people travelled far and wide to come here to these vast sylvan tracts wherein Norman kings once hunted and Saxon outlaws plundered. The green earth thickly studded with groves of huge and vigorous oaks, intersected with those smooth and sunny glades that seem as if they must be cut for dames and knights to saunter on. Disraeli wrote that. Doreen took a ladle from my table and told me what she gets up to at Centre Parks, which is somewhere off to the left. She's probably down there now, cleaning out the chalets. You wouldn't believe the state that some leave them in, she said. And it's usually those with the fanciest cars that leave the biggest mess. She used to work at Metalbox in Mansfield, like a lot of the older women around here. She was lidding up once, she told me, when two fingers flew past her, and before she knew it, she'd fainted and was on the floor. A press had come down on the hand of an Indian lad. The girls would always give the young male apprentices a hard time when they arrived, and she felt terribly guilty afterwards about this lad they'd teased. "But you're bound to have injuries in a place like that," she said. And I'm surprised any of us have any hearing left, it was that bloody loud. But there were women, of all ages, all together, and you learnt so much from them, she told me. The things we talked about, especially on a Friday when the wages came, and we all went for a knickerbocker glory at Wimpy's. Apparently they had a swimming club and a cinema club and athletics teams. It's hard to imagine now. I saw a show about Mansfield once by the playwright Kevin Feegan, who was brought up on this landscape. And he'd written,
"When the first settlers arrive, they find the Blue River, the white limestone, the red sand and the green forest. The Blue River is named Mam, Mother Goddess, and the settlement becomes Mansfield. The mills use the Blue River to make cotton and corn. The mines use coal from the Green Forest to provide heat, electricity and railways. The quarries use the white stone to build the churches and the town hall, the viaduct and the Houses of Parliament. The brickworks use the red sand to build brick houses, and factories to make tin boxes, shoes and beer. The foundries of iron and brass make industrial machinery and weapons.
And that's how it is. Nature provides everything to drive its own transformation. I've got someone I want you to hear from, Agnes. She calls herself a conservation grazing officer, but she's really a shepherd. If you keep walking along this path in the direction you were going, you'll come to a couple of gates. Go up to them, and you should see a sign that says Bower Hill Heath. When you do, go to the next track.